Studio, the podcast for writers and all who are interested in books, literature, and the printed word. Write on Audio is the weekly companion podcast of Write On Magazine and the Write On suite of publications from Pen to Print. Subscribe by searching Pen to Print in your favourite podcast app to have new editions delivered to you each week. Write On Audio listener contributions, sharing your writing for the world to hear. Enjoyed our July interview with Brian Bilston, we thought you might like to hear him performing some of his poetry. Brian Bilston has been described as the Banksy of poetry. He won the 2015 Great British Write-Off Poetry Prize for a poem disguised in a Venn diagram. His first published work, You Took the Last Bus Home, was published by Unbound. His novel, Diary of a Somebody, was published to much critical acclaim in 2020.
Okay, so here's a poem from my book Days Like These, which has a poem for every day of the year, and each poem links in with something significant about that day. And this is the poem for the 28th of May, which was the day in 1908 when Ian Fleming, author of the James Bond books, was born. Here's my poem to accompany that day. So this imagines what James Bond must get up to off screen, called Bond Off Duty. It's rare for the movies to show him wielding a Hoover or unloading a dishwasher, presumably not making for good box office, or maybe they just don't have the budget. It could be that he employs a cleaner, although that runs the risk of somebody snooping through his drawers. M would never sanction such a potential security breach. The cutting room floor must be littered with footage of him ringing around to get a new quote on his home insurance, filling in his expense forms. The itinerary of an international secret agent is complex. He'll be drowning in receipts. And what about the days he needs to catch up with his laundry, take his wetsuit to the dry cleaners? And it gets me thinking about the running time of my own life, recast as a movie with all the dull bits edited out. Moments like this, as I set off in pursuit of the lorry, three bin bags in hand, sprinting through the wet streets, wheezing already in a pain in my side, telling myself this is really no time to die. So here's another one from Days Like These, and this one goes back into history. So this is for the 15th of April, which was the day in 1912, but the Titanic sank. I guess the story of the Titanic is a very famous one. We've heard its story told by a lot, you know, from lots of different perspectives, but there is a perspective that we kind of rarely have heard, and that is the perspective of the iceberg itself. So this poem helps to, you know, kind of hopefully helps to put that straight. This is called The Iceberg Cometh. Why do I always get portrayed as the bad guy, the one with the heart of ice, the cold-blooded killer? There's more to me than that. People don't appreciate I've got a lot more going on beneath the surface. I started out as a snowflake, you know, back in the time of King Tut. Not that we ever met, although I'd often dream of living somewhere warmer. I suppose that's why, after a few thousand years, the Arctic started to get to me. One day, I snapped. I didn't have any plans as such. Thought I'd drift around for a while, taking some sights to see what happens. And that's how I ended up in the North Atlantic. Now let's get one thing clear. The ship crashed into me. It was midnight, and there I was, minding my own business, silently floating along, trying not to worry about why I'd been dripping so much recently, when wham! And there's all this shouting and screaming, crying and rasping, tearing metal and right palaver. And you know what? Nobody ever stopped to ask about me, or to apologise for the fact that souped-up bathtub had taken a big chunk out of my rear end. Unthinkable. The next 6 months were tough. I can't deny it hit me hard. I was shattered, had survivor's guilt, post-traumatic stresses all over me. Then came my much-reported meltdown. And yet, apparently, I'm the bad guy. If you ask me, that ship was travelling too fast, should have slowed down, shown more caution. But no one ever did listen to my advice. That's just the tip of the iceberg, they say. Okay, let's try a poem from my novel Diary of a Somebody. And the diary is narrated by a chap called Brian Bilston, who is no relation. He's a member of a kind of poetry club. And one of the things that this Brian likes to do is that he likes to occasionally write poems offering helpful advice to writers that he considers possibly less gifted than himself. And here's one of them. This is called How to Avoid Mixing Your Metaphors. It's not rocket surgery. First, get all your ducks on the same page. After all, you can't make an omelette without breaking stride. Be sure to watch what you write with a fine-tuned comb. Check and recheck until the cows turn blue. It's as easy as falling off a piece of cake. Don't worry about opening up a whole hill of beans. You can always burn that bridge when you come to it, if you follow where I'm coming from. Concentrate. Keep your door closed and your enemies closer. Finally, don't take the moral high horse. If the metaphor fits, walk a mile in it. Here's a poem I've not read for a while. This is the final poem of my book, Alexa, What Is There to Know About Love? And it's a poem about thinking ahead to my old age, which obviously is many decades from now, and just kind of wondering how I'm going to be spending my time, whether I'll be content just to sit around watching TV or whether I might be rather more ambitious than this. By my standards, this is a long poem. It's called Gunfight in the Last Chance Saloon. Now we are old, but not quite dead. Not knowing if today might be our last. We could devote ourselves to jigsaws and to remembrance of things past. Yes, that would be a blast. I couldn't think of anything worse. Why act as if we're already in the hearse when we've still got time to run amok, to cause a stir, to shake and shock our po-faced neighbours when they find our photo in the papers, caught by the cops with our knickers down in a disused warehouse on the wrong side of town. Having first taken out a gang of thugs in a brawl over a consignment of non-recreational drugs. We would have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for my back and your arthritis. Or then again, we could get out of bed at 10:30 and have breakfast on the patio if the weather's good. I could mow the lawn and you could prune the roses then. Hang on, stop. Please excuse me while I yawn. It's a sort of life, but only just. And it won't be long until we're dust. So let's think big, go large, be bold. We're not dead yet, we're only old. And there's time left still for us to lead the revolution. We can become saboteurs with secateurs and cut off the supply lines of tyrants and dictators. We can spray slug repellent in the faces of racists and fascists and plunder our allotment to pelt perpetrators of prejudice with moldy spuds and cabbages. Or, I suppose we could live out our last days in repose, filling in crosswords and the hours. Let the quiz shows exert their daily pull. We drift in and out on time's tide. How peaceful that all sounds, and how dull. That's not my idea of fun, but a life of crime spent on the run. Now there's a life I could abide. We could be a doddery Bonnie and Clyde and hold up banks by depositing a lifetime's worth of coppers from our penny jars. We'd use our mobility scooters as getaway cars and spread panic on the pavements with our drive-by tootings. We'd find a hideout to store our loot in, one with a stairlift, preferably, what with my hip and your dodgy knee. But hang on, there in the hedge, there's something moving. Behind the old pear tree, a sudden glint, a bush that wasn't there yesterday. We're surrounded. It must be time, I think. You grab that walking stick. I'll take my chances with the brolly. On the count of three, let's burst out the door and give them all we've got. You and me, kid. One. Against the world. Two. Just like it always was. Three. I'll read a couple more. Maybe both from here. This actually is a poem I didn't write myself. I was brought in to translate it from the very old English. It's considered to be the world's oldest surviving love poem written about 1.5 million years ago by one of our earliest ancestors, Homo unrequietus. And it's a rather sad poem. It's called The Caveman's Lament. Me think about her when sun rises. Me think about her when sun sets. Me say to her how much me love her. She tell me, love invent not yet. Me make cave all warm and cozy. Me lie bearskin on cave floor. Me play song of love on bone flute. She choose cave of Tim next door. Me no more go out hunt mammoth. Me throw spear too short or long. Me sit in cave, me paint her picture. She say me got perspective wrong. Me cook meal to show me love her. Diplodocus with fried beans. She say food anachronistic. Me not know what this means. Stone Age mighty hard for lovers, yet rub two flints, look what you get. Small sparks lead to big inferno, but she say, love invent not yet. Yeah, it's a very sad, sad poem, that one. Maybe I'll finish with this one. This was a poem that I had written. I wrote it kind of a few years ago when I was feeling rather overwhelmed by the amount of news that was coming in at me. It was all Brexit, and then it was COVID, and then it was war. Anyway, it's a short poem, just wishing for one quiet day. It's called Serenity Prayer. Send me a slow news day, a quiet, subdued day, in which nothing much happens of note. Just the passing of time, the consumption of wine, and a rerun of Murder, She Wrote. Grant me a no news day, a spare me your views day, in which nothing much happens at all. A few hours together, some regional weather, a day we can barely recall.
Thank you to Brian Bilston for our August listener contribution. You can find out more about Brian by visiting his website at brianbilston.com. We're always delighted to read your contributions, so if you'd like to see your words in Write On or hear them on this podcast, please get in touch. We'll share this link and all others mentioned in today's podcast as part of our show notes. I've been Tiffany Clare, and you've been listening to Write On Audio. Write On Audio is produced by Chris Gregory, and it's an alternative stories production for Pen to Print. This podcast is supported using public funding by Arts Council England.